You're listening to episode 214 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about the radical acceptance of other people's shit. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, my friends. Today, I have something new. I'm dropping the audio from a spontaneous Wake the Fuck Up Wednesday session that I did this week. So it's unpolished. I say like a lot because even though I live in Alaska now, I was raised in California. And I'm just on my computer mic, so there's no headphones or AirPods or fancy mic, but we'll see what my amazing podcast producer, Daniel at Roth Media, can do. Good luck, Daniel. And I hope you enjoy it because it's about another way we can decrease the unnecessary suffering in our lives. Here you go. So today I wanted to talk about, because it's been a theme, and you know me, if I see a pattern with clients, I like to kind of talk about it because I feel like it's in the ethers. So one thing that I've really been noticing is people being really pissed off that someone they care about is still doing fucked up things that annoy them. And I know that that can be super frustrating. Okay. I'm just going to say it right now. I totally get it. I know that it can be frustrating and it is creating a lot of suffering. Like in the ethers, there's just things that I hear are like, how could they have done that? They should have known. I was devastated by this. I can't believe that they didn't show up when they said they were going to. I can't believe that they brought that up again, that kind of stuff, right? And usually, if I've been coaching with someone long enough, you know, I'm aware of some of their patterns, some of their, not necessarily just their patterns, but the patterns that are showing up in their life with people that they care about and the people that are around them. And so I can often say to them, like, this doesn't surprise me that this is happening, right? I feel like when I hear this shock and devastation coming from them, I have so much compassion because I'm like, why do we keep expecting this person to be any different than who they are? So we can have it happen in something as simple as a friend who's always late and being annoyed that they're late again, to something as re-traumatizing as someone who's abused us, who does it again, or someone who broke our trust, who does it again. Part of this is really asking ourselves, do I truly believe that this person is not going to change? Because whenever we put our happiness on someone else's behavior, we're kind of asking to be screwed. Because humans, I don't know if you've noticed by now, but humans are notoriously unreliable. They can be inconsistent. Why? Not because they're assholes, but because they suffer. They suffer deeply and hurt people. And there's so many of us that are hurting, especially right now, with all of the things going on in the world, with all of the suffering and genocide and war and climate catastrophes and fractures within communities and generational trauma, our own trauma. And so I really want to invite the exploration of, why do I expect this person to change? And what am I making it mean about me if they don't, right? Because what often happens is, say for an example, my husband will often think that he's around a lot more than he is and that I'm gone a lot more than I am away from our daughter, Like, he'll think that me being gone from the house means I'm off doing the same thing he is, but he forgets that I bring our kid with me. And in arguments, he'll often say, like, you're gone just as much as me or something. And man, that used to just, I mean, like, fucking piss me off. One part of it is I have a very good memory and I have a very strong, logical, argumentative side to me. I think I would have made a great lawyer. So when someone says something that is so, like, not true, it really gets me. Like, I just get like, how the fuck can you even think that? There's like no data to support that. When I look back on the times that I was really activated, whenever he did that, it was because of what I was making it mean about me. One was, oh, he's challenging my version of reality, which was activating because growing up, my dad had schizoaffective disorder. And there was a lot of this confusion as a kid, like, dad is saying these things are happening and they're not happening, and just feeling powerless and exasperated because I couldn't help clarify it. Oh, it's interesting that that parallel came up, because what shifted with my dad was when I finally realized, oh, he has a mental illness and this is what he does. Like, unfortunately, he has these auditory and visual hallucinations that feel very real to him. And this is not about me. And when I was able to get there, it was so much easier to accept him and to let go of when he would do embarrassing things in public, when he would accuse me of doing things I didn't do. And, you know, with my husband, it had to really get to this place of like, oh, this is what he does. Like, he needs to kind of have that version of reality to function for whatever reason. And it's not going to help me or him if I blow up, right? Instead, what has helped, and I'm not going to lie, it's still activating, but it's much less so, which is progress, is I go into it expecting him to say that. Because otherwise, what happens? I expend the entire time being like, I can't believe you said that. But instead, if I go into it being like, oh, here we go. This is his thing. This is the thing he does where he misinterprets reality and then tries to like make himself feel better through this, then I can just anticipate it, let it happen, stay aligned, stay in my center and be like, okay. So this is a common thing we do. You know, you think I'm gone more, you think you're gone less than you are, etc. But what's really happening here is no matter what the data points say, is I'm feeling overwhelmed and I need help, right? We can bring it back to the real issue or not at all. Because I know that another thing I hear from clients is like, my friend group didn't invite me to this thing, and they know it's super painful when that happens or something. Or I go to visit my parents and my sibling or my parents shut me down again or belittle me again or whatever it is, right? So if we go into it not expecting them to change, we can actually rewrite what's happening in a way that doesn't create more suffering for us or them. But let's face it, even if we're just coming from a purely selfish perspective, expecting someone else to be different than who they are is setting us up for suffering, because that we have no control over. Hey, if they happen to do it, we're so happy and it's fantastic. Look, they actually made this change for me. But if they don't, then we're actually suffering even more. When we're thinking about being disappointed that someone is still doing that thing that really hurts us, and maybe they said they'd work on it, or maybe we just are expecting them to not do it anymore, we can have so much sadness and grief. Right? It can feel devastating. But if we can take a step back, we can look and say, wait a minute, what's actually happening here? this person is doing exactly what they always have. Why is this so shocking to me? Why am I letting this rock me so much? That's like being pissed that it's like that, like this trail that's been closed and is permanently closed is still closed when you show up every time. And it's like, hello, it's closed. Why are we still getting upset about this? Move on. Remember Shanti Deva's quote? It's actually at the bottom of my emails that I send to friends and stuff. It's, if you can change something, if you can change something, why be unhappy? If you cannot change something, why be unhappy? What can we not change? Other fucking people. That's what we can't change. We can make requests. We can say, hey, this is really painful for me. It would mean a lot to me if you did this. But if they don't, it does not behoove us to hang out expecting them to change. So here's the thing. Here's the invitation. Go into interactions with other humans, not expecting them to be any different than they always have been. If they are consistently disappointing you, and you have the option, this is why in some of the descriptions for this, I said in consensual relationships, because sometimes we're in things that we don't want to be in, but don't have the privilege or capacity to leave them at the moment. But if you can, and they're constantly letting you down, maybe don't hang out with them as much, or don't put so much stake into what's happening, right? So one is we can like terminate the relationship. That's always an option. Like if this friend is constantly shaming you or little jabs at you and you don't feel good with them, maybe it's time to not spend time with them. Two is that we can create boundaries, right? Like on the very simple example, if you're late, I'm going to leave after 10 minutes. I'm not going to be mad because you're always late. So if I'm choosing to be your friend still, then this is the boundary. The third option is radical unconditional love and compassion. This is how this person is. This is often what I end up doing with a lot of elders in my life. I call it grandmother practice. It's like they make the racist jokes. They spiritually bypass whatever it might be. And when they're still doing that, I call it, okay, this is grandmother practice. Like, I don't need to try to change this person anymore. I don't need to try to educate this person anymore. Like, I'm just going to have my own awareness of me. If I'm continuing this relationship with this person, either as a friend or a colleague or a lover or intimate partner, this is who they are. And I can choose to be like, okay, that's who you are. I don't like that part. And if I am choosing to continue the relationship, to be in the relationship, I also don't get to demand that they change and then be pissed every time they continue being who they are. You wouldn't want that for yourself. Am I right? You wouldn't want someone to be like, I don't like who you are. Keep fucking changing. Okay, I'm going to come over for dinner. Why the fuck are you who you are? All right, I'm going to meet you to go for a walk. You know what? I really don't like how who you are. Like, then why the fuck are you hanging out with me? Right? So flipping it the other way, if we're choosing to be in relationship with someone on any level, I feel it behooves us for our own suffering and theirs to accept them for who the fuck they are, right? All humans deserve that. This does not mean that we tolerate abuse. It does not mean that we let people mistreat us. It just means if I'm choosing to be with this person, okay, it's a choice. And I'm going to look at them and be like, this is who you are. And I can accept who you are and be with you, or fucking let go of it and not hang out. But it is such a waste of your energy and of your precious time on this planet to continue to make time to nurture relationships in which you are just constantly dissatisfied. You know, And the answer isn't to get satisfied by controlling who they are. So this week, I'm going to drop a replay of one of the earliest episodes on the manual, these expectations we have of people, right? And the need for this unconditional love, real love. And doesn't mean we have to like all of everyone. It just means we let go of demanding that they change so that we can be more comfortable and more happy. That's where self-coaching comes in, right? That's what we do in Freedom School. Come join us. Go to joinfreedomschool.com. We have a call coming up, the top of the hour. But it's like, we can self-coach to be like, how do I make this mean less about who I am and more about how this person might be hurting, that they're continuing to hurt? And self-coach to be like, if this relationship isn't working for me, then I can get out of it. Out of the friendship, out of the job, out of the relationship. So it's about taking back your power so that you have access to more compassion, self-compassion, and love, love for your people that you're choosing to have in your life. In reality, you can extend this practice to circumstances that could be on the extreme. You know, I remember the Tibetan monks and nuns talking about cultivating compassion for their captors that were torturing them. That's next level. I don't expect anyone to be able to access that right now, right? But that's an example of what's possible. I think it's actually one of the benefits of having people dedicated to spiritual practice walk around in the community, and you can bear witness in the community because you see what's possible, you hear what's possible. But we don't expect that of us. That's a lot. But what we can work towards is, how can I be happier by releasing my need for someone to change? And then what that opens up is that love and compassion. Okay. So that's what I have for you today. I'm going to also add in the show notes, you know, some additional episodes on Friday that'll be super helpful. And let me know if you have any questions by dropping them into the Facebook group, okay? Or shoot me an email. And if you're not with us yet, head over to joinfreedomschool.com, okay? And we're going to be writing our new life story this month, which will be amazing. I love this month because so much of our shit is from that old story that keeps playing. All right, my friends, I will see you next week, okay? Summer's in full swing here in Alaska. I got some awesome road trips coming up, so I can't promise there won't be a bunch of wilderness sounds in the background, but I'm excited.
If you like what you heard, spread the love and share it. And if you want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, check out rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist training kit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist manifesto, and more. That's rebelbuddhist.com.